You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks alongside James here tonight. My name is Ryan Chambers. This is the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Please use that promo code THPN the next time you are there using their services. Dallas Stars get the win tonight by a final score of 5-3 over the JT Miller-less Vancouver Canucks, thanks to their penalty killing that goes for 4-for-4 and their power play that actually gets a goal here this evening. I apologize for my terrible audio quality today. My mic is kind of went kaput skis and decided it wasn't going to work anymore. So I still wanted to do it, so this is how we're doing it. And James, how are you doing this fine evening?
I'm doing great. The Stars' penalty kill was actually 1-for-5, but that's because our penalty killers did not play the last penalty, so the puck went in the back of the net. But a weird game all around. Didn't feel like the Stars played their best, but I mean, it's the Vancouver Canucks of not last season. So they can kind of not play their best and still beat them.
So lots of Stars news that we haven't gotten the chance to talk about, James. Obviously the big one being that Miro Heiskanen has been put on IR, and it's official now. He is officially on IR, as is Nils Lundqvist. So with both of those guys going to IR, of course, we all think, okay, who's going to be the next guy that gets called up? We all thought it was going to be Petrovic. Obviously, that wasn't the case here tonight. It was Kyle Capobianco, the veteran who gets in his first game as a member of the Dallas Stars. What did you think of his performance tonight, James? Is there anything that you saw in particular?
I mean, he had a pretty terrible night, to be honest. He takes two penalties and he's victimized on the ice twice. He had a tough night all around. He felt like he couldn't really catch up to speed with most of the other players on the ice, which is just amplified when your D pairing partner is Matt Dumba.
I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass, to be completely honest with you, because this is his first game. Okay. And he's used to the system in Texas, which is a little bit different, but that pass is now gone. We really need him to start playing better at this point. But what this also does, unfortunately, and this is kind of a two-part question for you, James, but the first one is, obviously, if you're Jim Nill, are you kind of really thinking we need another defenseman? Because we saw the performance, not just from Capo tonight, but also, my goodness, Matt Dumba was god-awful. And the first two goals were 100% on him.
Yep. I mean, it really stinks, too, because, like, the people who you need to step up, like Bischel. I mean, Bischel was fantastic tonight. Almost had he had 19 minutes and 6 seconds of ice time, and he looked very comfortable with that amount of time. And it's just anytime basically Dumba's on the ice, it was a full-blown panic. Because if it's in the offensive zone and it touches Dumba's stick, he's slap-shotting it at the net and missing by 5 feet every time. That's his play. He doesn't try to find someone who's open. He just slaps it at the net. And if he's in his defensive end, he just tries to slap it up the boards. And also apparently off of the other team's shin pads in front of his own net. He tried to score on his own net tonight. So it's tough from that perspective. But yeah, it's seeing Bianco, Capobianco not really look comfortable even in this game. I mean, there were he's trying to play safe, and then he did get a bit of power play time. I know it wasn't much, but I mean, he couldn't get into the zone with it either, and that's one of the biggest things on the power play. So you're gonna have to see someone, probably more of a bottom pairing defenseman that comes in at some point. If there's anyone that Jim Neal can find that's bottom pairing that could just play like 12, 14 minutes a night, he's going to go find that person.
Do you think that the Stars should just wait and maybe something on waivers pops up over the next couple of weeks that maybe can be a fill-in so the Stars don't have to give up any kind of assets for it?
I don't know. I mean, that would be lovely if that happens, but the likelihood that you see something like that this late in the season for someone who is, well, someone, the person you're looking for is someone who's more solid than Petrovic already is, who I'm sure is going to get a call up here in a bit, but it's not likely. That would be ideal, because you really just need someone to play some minutes right now and just eat a couple here and there. But I feel like there's more immediate need for someone right now. Like I said, luckily tonight you're playing against the Vancouver Canucks, who have not had a great season and just traded away JT Miller. And yes, Demko just came back, but he hasn't looked himself since coming back either. This is a game that you probably lose like 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, but honestly, I think it was Darren asking Dumba or Petro. And right now it's no question that I want Petrovic in the lineup over Matt Dumba.
The Dumba was very not great on the ice tonight. I mean, he had, He was on the ice for every goal against, and the second to last one is especially just bad because they win the faceoff and it should be an easy clear and he shoots it off someone's shin pads and it just does not look good. So Ryan's not back yet, so I'm going to transition into like kind of how the game started. And so the Stars started really slow tonight. I mean, they didn't get a shot on for an extended period of time. And then they got a little bit going after the first intermission break, which we seem to see happen all the time with this team. Otter finds a way to keep them in. And then the first TV timeout, they get it all back together. They pick up their boots and they start going. And it's a great forecheck from the fourth line to get that first goal, specifically Brendan Smith, who continues to just look phenomenal in that forward role. He has some hard forechecking, gets it over to Blackwell, or gets it down deep, and has Blackwell turn the puck over, throws it right in front to Oscar Beck, who doesn't wait to take a shot, and he slings it at the net, and it's up high, and that's a big turning point in the game in the first period. I mean, it was Vancouver fully until then, I felt like.
So on the first goal, it was especially bad because he just in the slot should never have been there ever. Not even close. And then on the second shot, the second goal, you win the faceoff. You win the faceoff. He has control of the puck. All he has to do is get it out of the zone, and he can't even do that. So, this is nothing new, James. This is something that has been happening all season long, all season. And I'm over it. I'm over the Dumba experiment. We're already halfway through the season, and he's not getting any better. He's not. And if he was doing something offensively, that might be a little bit different. And then you could be like, okay, we can, you know, forgive some of the defensive miscues. But not only does he not get a shot on net, his shot gets blocked when he's in the slot, and then he gets beat on the backside. No forward covers for him. And then he can't even get the puck out of his own zone when he's playing defense. It was an easy play. It should have been a very easy play out of his own zone, and he didn't get it out. I'm over. I'm done. Bring up Petrovic.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Dumba is that he seems to not want to fit into the Stars system at all. He's just playing the way that he always has played, and he hasn't changed his game. And that was like one of the things that like he needed to do, because everyone could see that he's trending down. He clearly is trending down, and he's just looked worse and worse. And this year it's even worse. And even in this game, he's on the third pair with Capobianco, who hasn't played an NHL game in years, it feels like. But he leaves him out to dry on the first goal, is what he does. I mean, he leaves Capobianco completely out to dry. Bork is the one who's up at that corner where Dumba would be, but he's the one who has the puck, and he's going to skate it in deep. And Dumba should know that's when you cycle back up to the top. That's what every other defenseman does in this system. And he refuses to do it. And it like you said, it's not a one-off thing. It seems to happen every night. He just thinks he's so much, it feels he's playing like he's so much better than he actually is. He's playing like he can dangle and pick corners, and he's just not that player anymore. He cannot do that. And it's costing the Stars the other way.
So what did you see out of Kyle Capobianco tonight? Did you think he was better than Dumba, or do you think he was just meh? He was okay as a number six.
He was better defensively, but I mean, he had miscues here and there. The penalties are really the bad thing that you can't have when you're only playing 11 minutes a night. But that's a side effect of him not being up to NHL speed. It is truly what it is. So defensively, it's kind of like, whatever. But it's hard to look good when you play with Matt Dumba. I mean, we had Harley with Matt Dumba for like 3 weeks, and we were all complaining, like, Harley looks so bad. Why does he look so bad? And anyone that Dumba plays with looks bad.
Speaking of Thomas Harley, I thought he actually played pretty well tonight, considering he's basically the new number one. He didn't get the ice time that a number one gets, but I think a lot of the minutes were split up between Essa and Harley, but I thought he looked very good tonight.
Yeah, but the only reason why he doesn't get more minutes than Essa Lindell is because there's 5 penalties in the game, and Essa played 8 minutes of shorthanded time. So that's really what it comes down to. Harley in a game with less penalties against will get more ice time than Essa Lindell. But also, it just shows you how good Essa Lindell has been. And he's just able to play in every situation. And like we saw tonight, he's playing on the right side. It's basically Essa Lindell who takes Miro's spot on the right, because we lose Miro and we lose Nils Lundqvist. That's 2 right-handed defensemen, so you have to replace him with someone, and all you have left is left-handed defensemen. So Essa Lindell takes that, and he just plays great defensively. Like,
I'm surprised they didn't try to go with like a Harley Labushkin and then do like Essa and I don't know. I guess, there's really not another right-handed option because Nozunquist is out. So I guess this is the right way to kind of do the D pairings, at least for the short term. And in all reality, James, we can kind of transition to this too. This was really a 3-1 game. The score kind of gets a little bit convoluted with like the last 4 goals in the last, like, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
It was strange.
Yeah, the ending of the game was truly bizarre. I mean, the late penalty that the Canucks pull their goaltender on to start and they lose the faceoff and hence kind of flips it. I mean, he's trying to get it towards the net, but it's more he's trying to get it down the ice. And it takes kind of a nice little bounce for him, goes right into the empty net. And that made it 4-1. And then they decided, hey, so it's 4-1, so we don't have to make Esa play on the penalty kill. They throw Dumba and Bischel out there, and Dumba makes that stupid play off of the faceoff win and banks it off of one of the Vancouver players right in front of the net when he has full control, no one pressuring him. And that ends up in the back of the net. And so here comes Vancouver again. It's two goal game. They're going to pull their goalie, and Robo, Harley and Hintz just, they pass it out to center ice is really what they do. They just find space, and Robertson inevitably shoots it top right corner from the center ice line, which was a nice little empty net goal. And then with 3 seconds left, the Canucks score again, just because I think part of it is Otter doesn't really care that much. And it was a bunch. It was a wall in front of him. He couldn't see anything. He didn't look like he was hunting either, though. But the puck bounces off someone in front, goes over to the left, and it's half the net shootout. So that's kind of a weird, convoluted way that we got to a 5-3 ending when really it was a 3-1.
Yeah, that's why the reason why I say that is because I honestly thought the team defense overall, minus Dumba, was actually pretty good tonight. I was very impressed, and despite how badly they played in the second period, I actually thought that they weathered the storm, and they took a 2-1 lead to the second intermission. And you know what? Sometimes when you're not on top of your game, you got to just find a way to win, and they did that, especially yeah. Going into the second intermission.
And the big thing for that second period was, I mean, they were getting beat down basically the whole time, and they got their one power play opportunity, and they sunk it, and they looked good, and they were passing it nice, and that was absolutely massive. That's how you win games that you really shouldn't be in, is you score on the power play. And that's honestly the biggest story from tonight, besides the last 3 minutes.
Hey guys, have you tried Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? The NFL playoffs are here and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Pick 6 is super easy to play. Just select two or more players and choose whether they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. It's fun, simple, and you can win big. Best of all, Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and much more. And here's the kicker. DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in credits to keep the action going. Win more cash with Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I was very happy with that aspect. I even put, this would be a really good time for them to go out and get a power play goal, because that's something they weren't able to do at the beginning of the year, especially at home. They could not score a power play goal at home to save their lives. And all they needed was one. And then they kept the lead for the rest of the way. So it was special teams that kind of helped them out tonight.
Early in the third, they also looked very nice. I mean, I don't think Vancouver had a shot till over 9 minutes into the period. it was really the Stars holding on to it and really trying to just shut the game up then and there. And then you see you got the early third period goal from Roope, who just uses his speed to get in there and get an extra one. And that really kind of killed the game, honestly, because for how bad the Stars looked, I mean, Vancouver was not getting anything interior on the Stars. They were keeping them to the outside very well. And I looked at Money Puck before the last 3 minutes of the game happened, and the deserved a winometer, which we love to use, but it's, you know, it's whatever, but it was actually scaled heavily in the Stars' favor. It was like 70-30 for the Stars, which is crazy because I thought the Stars were having a pretty bad game, and advanced stats kind of say otherwise, which is just, it tells me more that Vancouver failed to get interior than the Stars really had a great offensive game, which is kind of nuts when you're talking about you end the night with 5 goals.
That is what I was going to say too, is just the fact that they were being outshot 11-1 at one point in the second period was a little bit crazy. And the other thing was that where we were sitting, me and Amanda, we were on the opposite side of the ice. So where Demko was during the second period, and all of the play was downhill except for the Stars' power play. That was literally it. Like there might have been a shift from the fourth line that I remember off the top of my head, where we spent some time in the Vancouver zone, but there was not much time. Now, the other thing I actually thought about is that I was very surprised to see is that after the second period, Owen Newkirk, he always says his unofficial quality scoring chances count during the game. And it was only 14-12 in favor of Vancouver, which that may lead to some of those advanced analytics looking good for Dallas compared to kind of like what you were saying.
Yeah, it was a really strange game. It's just kind of weird that it kind of thumped along a bit, and Vancouver looked good for a lot of it. Maybe that's just my brain being taught from the Stars that puck possession is everything, and they didn't play that way at all tonight. They just converted on a couple of chances they got, and that's all they needed. And when you're missing Miro Heiskanen, who is a large part of that puck possession, that this is kind of what you have to do. And what I was talking about in our podcast on Wednesday night is like you might see more boring games from the Stars, and this is kind of an example of it. They sat back for a lot of this game. They had forwards back all the time, and the one time that the Canucks scored, I'll call it legitimately because I don't count the last 3 minutes of the game, but was Dumba just being stupid, kind of. I mean, he's just playing as a defenseman in between the circles in the offensive zone, which is just not smart. So that's the one hiccup on the night. And other than that, I mean, the Canucks had nothing to shoot at.
And Otter was very good too. Again, Otter was fantastic. He was not required to make like a highlight reel save like he did against Vegas, obviously. But
yeah,
he was very solid positionally. He was not giving up a ton of rebounds. He was tracking the puck through traffic. He was doing, I mean, everything you would ask an above average goalie to do. And he's not an above average goalie. He is a very good goaltender. He is a number one guy.
Yeah.
So that was very good to see as well too.
And there were specific stretches of the game where he had to be like the beginning of the first, when the Canucks just had all the pressure all the time, he had to be big there, and he was, and he kept the Stars in the game. And that's what he normally does in the first, and he doesn't get enough credit for it. And in the second period specifically too, the shots were 11-3 in that second period, and the Stars get out of it with 1-1. Both teams scored one goal. So he was fantastic when he had to be. And once the game was over, I think he kind of like gave up a little, which I honestly don't care. He won the game, but it's just funny to see him have 3 games straight now, or actually it's 4 straight now with below 900 save percentage, and he won three of them, and we think he looked fantastic in three of them. So it's really getting those timely saves when he really needs them that Otter has just been able to keep up and maintain through the last stretch of games.
Speaking of shots on goal, this is one of the rare games where the Stars get absolutely outshot, like tremendously. I mean, the shots on goal tonight were 29-16. I can't remember the last time the Stars had under 20 shots on goal in a game. And not just that, but they had under 20 shots and won the game and got 5 goals in the game as well. Now, I know 3 of them are only legitimate, but still, even 3 goals on 16 shots is ridiculous. So, they were kind of a little bit of a counterattack team here tonight, and they took advantage of their opportunities. So that's exactly what you have to do when you're missing a lot of defense. You kind of lean upon each other in a team defense format, and they did that.
And they really got in front of Demko, and they got in his crease a bunch. For how few shots they had, most of them were right in front of Demko. And when you're talking, Demko is just coming back from injury. He's been struggling, trying to get back up to speed. And that's a perfect way to throw him right back off his rocker. I mean, you get in his face and make him lose a game where really it feels like he shouldn't.
Okay, one more question for you, and then we'll do biggest winner, biggest loser, James. All right. We're going to take Brandon's comment over here. Brandon saying, bench Dumba, put Smith back on defense, call up Lou Melligan. And Joe Baker agrees with him. I don't agree with that at all, to be completely honest with you. Yes, bench Dumba. I don't like Smith on the defense as much as I like him on forward. He has been very good on the forward side. So I think you need to call up Petrovic and leave Smith where he's at right now.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to see Capobianco get back out of the lineup just because of how much you pay Dumba. And it's tough to take him out. And honestly, most of his mistakes are after the game is really over. Two of them are after it had become 4-1 late in that game. I'm giving Dumba some outs here because honestly, they matter in a game like this. When you're just trying to get the win. DeBoer knew that throwing him out on the penalty kill is not the greatest idea, but he also knows that Esplandel had played 8 minutes on the penalty kill that night. So it's kind of part of how it goes. I just think you can't have Capobianco take 2 penalties when he only plays 11 minutes, and it's a tough thing to do. So we'll see what they do. Smith might go back on defense depending on how — I know you don't want him to, Ryan, I know — but depending on how dire the defensive situation gets, you might see Smith have to transfer back over to defense just for a couple of games to just eat some minutes, because this team is so deep on forwards in the AHL. I mean, there's so many different people they could call up. You have Ritzkovian down there. You have Blumel down there. That there's so many more. And it just feels like the defensive depth is definitely not there for this team. And having Smith there when you know he can play defense, it might happen. We'll see. But yeah, I think you'll probably see Petro soon.
See, the reason why I'm saying that, James, is I'm willing to give Capobianco a pass for tonight. He gets one pass. Like, tonight is the pass he gets in his first NHL game in however long it's been. It's been so long for him, apparently. And with Dumba, we've seen nothing but crap this entire season. He has had some good plays, but a majority of them have not been good at all. And I'm not willing to give him a pass anymore. I'm sorry. It's like I like he seems like a really nice guy. He seems like a good guy to have in the locker room, but the results matter right now. And I know you say that you put him out on the decor, like on the power play or on the penalty kill him just because SM, but it's all about the principle of the thing, James. He made two plays and they both led to goals for the Vancouver Canucks. I'm sorry, and I know that second goal doesn't really matter because it was at the end of the game and we were up by three at that point, but still, it's about the principle of the thing, in my own opinion. So, okay, biggest winner, biggest loser, who you got tonight?
Biggest winner, I'm going to give to Jason Robertson because he has finally climbed the hill. And I believe he's tied with Matt Duchene for the points lead right now. And he has one more goal than him. And he's only two goals behind Roope Hintz, which is absolutely insane from someone who was like sixth on the team a month ago.
Do you think there's any way that if there's an injury for Team USA for the Four Nations, do you think he gets the call to come play for the Four Nations faceoff for Team USA?
He might. I kind of doubt it, but I mean, it's definitely possible.
Now, Nate saying over here, big mistake leaving Robo off the Four Nations, but not really. Remember at the time we were complaining about his production and the fact that he didn't look anything close to how he had been. But now it looks like a mistake, but at the time it didn't because he was really not playing well at all. So, and honestly, I kind of don't want him to, so he can get some rest and he can get ready for a deep playoff. So we'll have to wait and see if he gets that call or not. But I have a sneaky suspicion that he might if there's an injury.
Yeah, it would be fun to watch, that's for sure. But it really doesn't matter that much. There's so many good players on the U.S. team too. That it's tough to break into that top layer, and after like the top like six, you're kind of just pulling straws, really. I think.
Fair enough. And who do you have for your biggest loser? And then I'll give you mine.
I'm gonna give mine to the Canucks and Quinn Hughes because I'm pretty sure Quinn Hughes is hurt. that was tough to watch, I'm gonna be honest. He, for the last like almost full third period, every time he got back off the ice, he's just sitting on the bench wincing with his head between his legs. It was a tough thing to watch. I texted in our family group chat, like, someone needs to tell Quinn Hughes to stop playing. Like, he needs to stop because it was tough to see. That's Vancouver's biggest player. I mean, it is, hands down. He's even more important to that team than Heiskanen is to the Dallas Stars.
Because the Stars are such a good team, and they've got way more depth than Vancouver does. So I agree with
you. He's leading their team in points, which is nuts, which is another thing that we can mention just real quick. He has more assists and goals. Total, he's more everything than the Stars' entire defense has this season, which is absolutely nuts.
That is something I was unaware of.
I took a screenshot of it. I'll send it in the Discord.
Yes, put it on the Discord. My biggest winner, I guess I'll give it to Hintz. He gets rewarded a little bit tonight with the extra goal, with the empty netter, but. He used his speed tonight, and that's what makes him scary, and that's what makes him dangerous. So he goes 5-hole on Demko, which he does all the time, and it's beautiful to watch. It's so nice to see that, you know, Tuesday Wyatt Johnston goes nutso against the Golden Knights, and now we're seeing the other two best players for the Dallas Stars really get in there offensively and take care of business tonight. The Stars were not the best. Yep. And then for my biggest winner, I'll also give it to the Stars decor. They were getting pummeled tonight at certain points. I think it was somewhere in the third period around the 6-minute mark. They were taking a whole bunch of shots and like hits, and like Liam Bischel blocked a shot, and I think it was off his hand. And even Lyubushkin got kind of destroyed in his own zone a little bit. And so I was just like, please, can we not have one of our other D-men get hurt as well and be even more injured on the back end?
Yeah, Biggest Loser on the defense just getting beat up is a pretty solid one, especially in the second. They had to have blocked like at least 10 just in the second period alone. But it's funny because this is one of the nights where hits are actually pretty even. They were 30 to 24 by the end of the night.
And it wasn't that way after the first period. I think it was like 17 to 5 or something like that after the first period. Something like that. I don't know. But anyways, that's about it, James. You got anything else for us?
Nope. They play again on Sunday at 5 against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Which will be very, very fun. So, a couple of shout-outs. First off, I want to give a shout-out to Brandon, who's in the chat. He was like the winner of the Stars Trivia stuff after the second intermission. So that was kind of cool to see his tag up there on the Jumbotron. And then also, do you mind, can I show you? Okay, I'm being passenger princess, and Amanda is very graciously driving for me so that I can do this podcast with James. So everyone give her a little bit of love in the chat as well, if y'all would. So she is absolutely the best, yes. All right, guys. I think that's going to do it for us here tonight. Thank y'all for following live along with us here. There's even more who are listening afterwards. We appreciate y'all as well. Please consider clicking like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on the audio side, I'm so sorry. The audio is so bad. It won't be like this ever again, I promise. And if you are doing so, leave us a 5-star review wherever that may be. And alongside James, my name is Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening. Whenever you guys are listening, thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook for being our sponsor. Promo code is THPN. James, you want to say it for us since Chris ain't here?
That's 4 straight from the Stars. GG, boys.